Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa ma ba'd. Respected brothers and elders, we started reading from this kitab, Jami'ul Ulum wal Hikam of Ibn Rajab Hanbali rahimahullahu ta'ala. Come closer inshallah. And this is a compilation of approximately 50 hadith. I mentioned last week that originally, Ibn Salah rahimahullahu ta'ala, he selected 26 ahadith from the ahadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Then there was a scholar that came by the name of Imam Khattabi rahimahullahu ta'ala. He was a Shafi'i scholar. It was Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala, who then added 16 more ahadith and made it 42. And then finally, Ibn Rajab rahimahullahu ta'ala came and he compiled 50 ahadith. And this is the kitab that has 50 ahadith from the comprehensive ahadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Now obviously, as you can see, the size of the book is it's like an encyclopedia. This is an explanation of 50 hadith only. We're not talking 500, we're not talking 5,000. He's explaining 50 ahadith, and for that, you can see that this kitab is well over 1,000 pages. And that in itself is a sign that the words of the Prophet ﷺ are also a miracle. Just as the words of the Qur'an are a miracle, we believe in that. The Qur'an is a mu'jiza. We believe that the Qur'an is a miracle. The words of Rasulullah ﷺ are also an inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا يُنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. The Prophet ﷺ doesn't speak on his own accord. He speaks with wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, today we are going to go through one hadith. And like I said last week, the explanation is well over, Imam Nawawi Ibn Rajab rahimullah, the explanation and the commentary of this one hadith is approximately 80 or 90 pages. So obviously we cannot go through every single bit, but just to give us an idea, this hadith that we are going to speak about today briefly is known as Hadith-e Jibril. What's it known as? Hadith-e Jibril. And from the collection of ahadith, it is probably one of the most important ahadith. It's known as Hadith-e Jibril. Why is it known as Hadith-e Jibril? Because in this hadith, Jibril alayhi salatu wasalam came to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it was towards the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he came to the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he asked some really important questions. Actually, there was four questions. How many questions did he ask? Four questions. He asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Mal Islam? What is Islam?" Number two, "Mal Iman?" That, "Ya Rasulullah, what is Iman?" Number three, "Mal Ihsan?" That, "What is Ihsan?" And we will briefly speak about all three of these things. And then number four, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, mata sa'a? When is Qiyamah going to happen?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I don't know anything, neither do you know, and neither do I know." Then he said, "Ya Rasulullah, if you don't know, if that hasn't been revealed to you, then what are the signs of the Day of Judgment?" So these are the five questions that he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the context of this hadith is really interesting, because this hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala. Who is it narrated by? Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. On one occasion, there were some people that visited Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu. Who is Abdullah ibn Umar? The son of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And they said to Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that there are some people that they have this distorted belief. They have the distorted belief that whatever actions we do, it's not in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what is our yaqeen? Our yaqeen as Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that not only is our actions in the knowledge of Allah, meaning Allah has already destined what a person is going to do, but Allah Ta'ala is also the creator of the actions of people. And this is what Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, "Wallahu khalaqakum wa ma ta'amaloon." Allah Ta'ala created you and Allah Ta'ala created the actions that you commit also. Because why? Because our yaqeen is Allahu khaliqu kulli shay. Allah is the creator of every single thing. This is our yaqeen. Is that clear? So they came to Abdullah ibn Umar and they said that there are some people amongst us that are starting up this new sect. Now this new sect that started, they were known as the Qadariya. What were they known as? The Qadariya. The Qadariya, basically, their yaqeen and distorted belief was, is like I just mentioned, that whatever we do, it's not in the knowledge of Allah prior to happening. Once we do it, it comes in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, that tell these people that their iman is not valid. They have nothing to do with me and I have nothing to do with them. And then he shared with them the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. What is the hadith? The hadith is that Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that once we were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when suddenly there was a person that appeared, he had white clothes and he had dark black hair. We did not see on him the signs of safar, meaning he, you know, it didn't look like he's traveled from far. But then at the same time, none of us knew him. So Jibreel alayhi salam disguised himself to such an extent that it is mentioned further on that in some hadith it is mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that it wasn't until after he left I realized that it was Jibreel alayhi salam. So he disguised himself to such an extent. Whereas the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he would come in contact with Jibreel alayhi salam, he would know it's Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet alayhi salam had seen Jibreel alayhi salam in his original form also, and he would usually come in the form of a human being, and he would resemble a sahabi by the name of Dihya radiallahu ta'ala anhu. By the name of Dihya radiallahu anhu. But this time he took upon such a, you know, personification that even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam initially did not recognize him. Then he came and he sat in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he joined his knees with the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He put his hands on the thighs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then he addresses Rasulullah and he says, Ya Muhammad. Nobody would address the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with Ya Muhammad, with his name. Allah Ta'ala says, لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم بعضا. Allah says, don't call my Nabi the way you call one another. So nobody would have the audacity to say, Ya Muhammad. Allah Ta'ala says, don't call him Muhammad. Say, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Nabi Allah. And the Sahaba would always call him Ya Rasulullah. So you have this person who looks like he's from Medina, but nobody recognizes him. And then on top of that, he comes and he says, Ya Muhammad. So now the Sahaba are puzzled. He says, أخبرني عن الإسلام. He says, tell me, what is Islam? And subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, Islam أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. Islam is that you bear testimony that there is none worthy of worship but Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, and you establish salah, you give zakah, fast in the month of Ramadan, and make hajj of Baytullah if you have the ability. What are the tenets of Islam? There's five things. Number one, shahadatu an la ilaha illallah. To give testimony that there's none worthy of worship but Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger. Salah, sawm, zakat, and hajj. These are the five integrals of Islam. And one thing to add to that for us to understand, Islam relates to exterior actions. What does Islam have to do with? It has to do with our actions that are manifest by virtue of salah, by virtue of fasting, by virtue of Hajj Baytullah. These, Islam relates to the exterior actions that a person does. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that these are the actions by virtue of which a person is considered a Muslim. That's why when a person accepts Islam, what is it that you make that person do? So somebody wants to come accept Islam. So what is it that the person does? You make that person recite the Shahada. And the person says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. So by saying the Shahada and exhibiting the Kalima, a person enters the fold of Islam. A person becomes a Muslim. So these are the actions that by virtue of which it completes the Islam of an individual. Then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said to the Prophet alayhi salam that you have spoken the truth. Sahaba said, we were puzzled that he's asking a question and then he verifies and says that what you're saying is 100% right. Like, what's happening here? Either he knows and he's just testing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or he doesn't know. How is it that he's asking but then at the same time he's verifying? Like, you can't do that. So now it adds more to the, you know, you can say the astonishment of the Sahaba. The next question he poses, and he says that, Ya Rasulullah. Oh no, so he says, then he says, Akhbirni anil iman. That tell me what is iman. Now Islam relates to the exterior actions of a person, bodily actions that a person does. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, iman is to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iman is what is in the heart. And tu'mina billah. For a person to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to believe in the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the books that Allah has revealed, His messengers, the day of judgment, and to believe in fate, destiny, good and bad, everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This belief in taqdeer. Now remember what I mentioned earlier, the people that came to Abdullah ibn Umar, and they said that they don't believe in taqdeer. They don't believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined everything. And unfortunately, you know, many a times, even many normal Muslims, people in our day and age, especially youth and youngsters, they find it extremely difficult to understand that how is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decided everything? How is it possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decided everything? And then obviously a very common question that comes is that if Allah has already decided everything, and our actions are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what will we be judged for? Yani, and so this question the companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about taqdeer and destiny, the companion said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, Ya Rasulullah, has Allah Ta'ala already decided everything? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said yes. Then they said that, Ya Rasulullah, fafima al-amal. Then what are we supposed to make any actions for? Because whether we do something or not, it makes no difference. Allah has already decided everything. So what difference does it make? Whether you do good, whether you do bad, Allah has already decided. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say to the Sahaba, "I'malu kullun muyassarun lima khuliqa lahu." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say to the Sahaba that you carry on doing the actions that you are supposed to do. You carry on doing the actions that you are supposed to do. For Allah will facilitate and make easy for you whatever Allah has created you for. You see, taqdeer, respected brothers and elders, this, you know, understanding of taqdeer and fate is part of our iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already pre-decided. Now, the question is that what are we going to be judged for? We will be judged for our actions that we choose, not for the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already destined everything, but He has given human beings a choice. And it is with this choice that a person chooses to do what he does or what she does. MashaAllah, you chose to come to the masjid, you are sitting here. Those that chose not to come, they are not here. A person has been given choice and free will by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we exercise that all the time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a degree of choice. Yes, this is a separate issue, that what we are going to choose is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because the knowledge of Allah is all-encompassing. How is it possible that Allah is the Khaliq, Allah is our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything, yet He doesn't know the actions that a person is going to do? Such a small, puny human being. And for a person to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know the actions that we are going to do, and then only it comes in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this goes against what the Quran is saying also. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, belief in taqdeer. And what is the benefit of believing in taqdeer? When a person believes in taqdeer, good and bad, everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, ما أصاب من مصيبة إلا بإذن الله ومن يؤمن بالله يهدي قلبه والله بكل شيء عليم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whatever difficulty comes upon a person, it comes with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has already decided. So no matter what a person does, there's no way that you can avoid it, and there is no way that a person, you know, whatever Allah has decided is going to happen. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma sha Allahu kan wa ma lam yasha lam yakun." Whatever Allah has decided, it is going to happen. And that which Allah has decided for it not to happen, there is nothing that can make it happen. So what is the benefit of believing in taqdeer? When a person believes in taqdeer, meaning a person believes has firm belief that everything happens from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, during that difficulty also, Allah ta'ala gives contentment to that person. A person has belief that, look, you know what? It happened because Allah wanted it to happen. And for people that don't believe in taqdeer, for people that don't have this belief, unfortunately, this is a reality, that when they are going through an extremely difficult time, many a times they cannot come to terms with it and they take their own life. Right? How many times have you heard about a person that financially they went through such a loss that they took their own life? You have people that are in corporate world, in businesses, high ranking profiles, but sometimes something went wrong, or you know, some of their investments went, you know, a little bit here and there, and subhanAllah, they ended up taking their life. Whereas a person who has belief in taqdeer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be able to come to terms with the difficulty and understand and realize that, look, you know what? Allah had decided for it to happen. There's no way I could have avoided it. Allah had already decided. This is the greatest benefit of believing in taqdeer. قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدَرًا. If we want to understand taqdeer, then very briefly, let us look at the story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. What happened to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam? Allah Ta'ala speaks in Surah Taha. This ayat of the Surah Taha, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَمْشِي أُخْتُكَ فَتَقُولُ هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى مَنْ يَكْفُرُ فَرَجَعْنَاكَ إِلَىٰ أُمِّكَ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنَ وَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا فَنَجَّيْنَاكَ مِنَ الْغَمِّ وَفَتَنَّاكَ فُتُونًا فَلَبِثْتَ سِنِينَ فِي أَهْلِ مَدْيَنَ ثُمَّ جِئْتَ عَلَىٰ قَدَرٍ يَا مُوسَى. If only, not that I understand it, but if only we were able to appreciate what this ayat is saying. Allah says to Musa alayhi salam, قَدْ جِئْتَ عَلَىٰ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that قَدْ جِئْتَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O Musa, you coming to this mountain at this time in receiving nubuwat, you came spot on time. تُمْ ٹھیک وقت کی اوپر پہنچے. And Allah ta'ala reminds Musa alayhi salatu wa salam about the whole journey that he went through. What did he go through? As a child, he's born in the year in which Fir'aun is killing all the boys, all male offsprings that are born. Fir'aun is killing and slaughtering every single one of them. What are the chances of Musa alayhi salam surviving? Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam survives. Then Allah ta'ala pacifies the mother of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and tells her that, look, if you fear for your child, keep him for as long as you can. If you fear for him, then put him in a box and then what? And then post him or mail him. No, put him in the water. Is he going to survive? If you put a kid in a box and put him into the water, what's going to happen to the child? Child is going to die. The mother is thinking, if I put my child in a box and put it in the water, what's going to happen to my child? All odds are against Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. His mother puts him in a box and this box goes. And where does it end up? In the mahal of Fir'aun. Who picks him up? The wife of Fir'aun. As soon as she sets her eyes on Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah says, وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي. Allah says that we cast over Musa alayhi salatu wasalam muhabbat. Whoever would see Musa alayhi salam would fall in love with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And sometimes you wonder to yourself that you like somebody, you don't know why. You just want to be with that person. You just want to take a selfie with that person. And you're trying to understand why. Like, you know, what is it about this person? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put kashish. Allah has put this pull within people that are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You just want to be with them. You feel good around them. And sometimes it's not even a person has iman. Sometimes non-believers will say, no, feel good around this person. There's some energy over here. Some energy, or there's a vibe. Like there's something going on here. They feel the radiance of iman and nur of this person also. Alqaytu alayka. Imagine the nur and the muhabbat Allah had put on Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Now Fir'aun, now Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is being raised and fed and taken care of in the mahal of Fir'aun. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you accidentally killed that person, so you fled, you were a fugitive. He went all the way to Madian. He stayed there for 10 years and then he's going back, on his way back. He sees a fire in the distance and it's not a fire. Allah is calling Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. This whole journey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, فَلَبِثْتَ سِنِينَ فِي أَهْلِ مَدْيَنَ ثُمَّ جِئْتَ عَلَىٰ قَدَرِي يَا مُوسَى. Musa, you came on time. The whole life of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, time and time again, wherever Allah speaks about it in the Quran, reminds us of the taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It reminds us that who is in control? Allah is in control. You know, sometimes you see the message, calm down. Allah is in control. Wallah, it's so true, respected brothers and elders. Allah is in control. If only we can take that into the recesses and the depth of our hearts and understand that what am I controlling? Who am I and what am I? Who am I and what am I? Who is in control? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqdeer, respected brothers and elders. Whatever good comes, it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say alhamdulillah. We enjoy. We make shukr. We do 2 rakat salat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You go through a financial difficulty or whatever other difficulty it is, health related, financially related, the loss of, you know, somebody or something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that even then, the believer, he's patient and he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in that difficulty, he gets a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in that difficulty, he comes closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So taqdeer. Taqdeer is part of our iman. Then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Akhbirni anil ihsan." Can you explain to me what is ihsan? So what is ihsan? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you can see Allah. And know and realize that if you cannot see Allah, Allah is watching you. This is probably one of the most important aspects of this. When you have a combination and a fusion of Islam and Iman, internal belief, you couple that with Salah, Sawm, Zakat and Hajj, and then the level of devotion and attention a person creates in their ibadat, that you're worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the completion of the Iman of an individual. Ihsan. What is Ihsan? Ihsan literally, linguistically means to bring something to such a level that a person is able to carry out in the best possible way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants Ihsan from us fi kulli shay, in everything. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the extent that when you slaughter an animal, have Ihsan in that also. How do you have Ihsan in that? There was once a sahabi, he was slaughtering an animal in front of another animal. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, that are you going to give this animal 2 deaths? How do you slaughter an animal twice? The animal is going to die once, isn't it? What does it mean, are you going to kill this animal twice? Meaning, one is when you will slaughter it, but at the same time, it's seeing all these other animals that are being slaughtered and blood is gushing from their bodies. You're scaring it, it's as if this animal is going to die twice. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that don't do that. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when you slaughter an animal, do it in a way that other animals are not there. Sharpen the blade. Say Bismillah. Don't delay in the slaughtering of that animal. Nabi alayhi salam said, Ihsan fi kulli shay. Now imagine if Ihsan is something that's recommended in the slaughtering of an animal, then imagine the level of Ihsan that is wanted from us when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One companion came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, awsini wa awjiz. Ya Rasulullah, I want advice, but make it short. Right? Short nuskha. Long bayan. Shuru mein kya kaha, akhir mein kya kaha, kuch bhi yaad nahi hai. Like I normally say, kehte hai, Maulana ka bayan bohut jordar tha. Maulana ka bayan bohut jordar tha. Ya phir aap inse puchhenge ki Maulana ne kya kaha, wo to yaad nahi hai. Lekin itna yaad hai ki Maulana badhara pa rahe tha. Right? So he said, Ya Rasulullah, awsini wa awjiz. And that's why we're going to keep it short. So, awsini wa awjiz. He said, Rasulullah, please advise me and please keep it short. Nabi alayhi salam, subhanallah. He said to him, salli salatam huwaddi'in. He said, when you pray, pray as if it is your last salah. Imagine, respected brothers and elders, you've been given a timeline. May Allah protect everyone from illnesses. But sometimes, you know, it's a reality. The doctors will tell the family, it's got 24 hours. It's a matter of days, matter of months sometimes. Now imagine a person knows about that, that they're saying that I've only got a day left. What is the level of devotion that a person is going to give to their ibadah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, salli salatam muwaddi'. And then, respected brothers and elders, when a person creates ihsan, devotion, concentration, attention in salah, in fasting, in hajj, in all the different aspects of ibadah, that attention and devotion will then permeate and extend to all aspects of the life of that individual. It will not only be restricted to ibadah. That's why in some hadith the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that اعبدوا الله كأنك ترى. In this hadith he said that worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in some hadith it is mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that live your life as if you are seeing Allah. Imagine if a person is always conscious that Allah is watching me. Then will a person do something wrong? Will a person disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? A person will make their utmost effort to make ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abstain from those things that are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll share one story with you and then we'll wrap up inshallah. There's a tabi'i by the name of Urwa bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What is his name? Urwa bin Zubair. We have Zubair here. So this was Urwa bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Who is Zubair radiallahu anhu? Zubair ibn al-Awam, Sahabi Rasulullah, Hawari Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is his son Urwa radiallahu anhu. Urwa bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that once I was performing tawaf with Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I was performing tawaf with Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he says, whilst I was doing tawaf, he said, I asked Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu for his daughter's hand. Listen to this very carefully. In tawaf, he says, I asked Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu for his daughter's hand. He says that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he continued his tawaf, and I felt to myself that he definitely heard me, but he ignored me. And he said, I said to myself that I'm never gonna bring this subject up again. I'm never gonna bring the subject up again. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he continued with his tawaf. After that, Urwa bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that it so happened that Abdullah ibn Umar, he departed from Medina before me. He reached Medina. After a couple of days, I came to Medina Munawwara. I entered the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first person I meet is Abdullah ibn Umar. Imagine that. So he said, I'm thinking to myself, now what? You know, sometimes you're looking to go right, left, you can't go anywhere. So he said, now I'm thinking to myself. But subhanAllah, these were people with clean hearts. He said that I paid my tribute to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. He's a sahabi of Rasulullah. Urwa radiallahu anhu is not a sahabi. He's the son of a sahabi. So he said, I paid my tribute. I made salam. I asked him how everything was. Then Urwa radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that, come tell me. Abdullah ibn Umar said to him that, come tell me, during tawaf, what did you say to me? He said, you asked for my daughter's hand in nikah whilst we were making tawaf of Baytullah. He said, you couldn't find any opportunity but tawaf? You found no other option but to ask me in tawaf? Abdullah ibn Umar was upset with him. Urwa radiyallahu rahimahullah ta'ala said, what has happened has happened. You know, like, it's okay, I shouldn't have done it, but it's done now. I asked you. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala who said to him that at that time when I was making tawaf, Abdullah ibn Umar, and this level of devotion, he says, when we were making tawaf, it was as if I was seeing Allah. اُعْبُدُ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you can see Allah. He said, I was so engaged with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that although you had mentioned whatever you were mentioning, but my heart and mind was focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said to Urwa ibn Zubair, he said, are you interested? He said, I'm just as interested as I was at that time. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he called his two sons, Abdullah and Salim. They were his two sons. And he, in the presence of his two sons, he gave his daughter in nikah to Urwa ibn Zubair rahimahullahu ta'ala. But the point is, like I mentioned, and which is mentioned in the hadith, that when we make ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's why, you know, when we hear and we read incidents of the sahaba or, you know, the pious, that when they pray salah, it is as if they forget everything. They become so negligent of their surroundings that the only thing they are engaged is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us that devotion also, respected brothers and elders, that we become so attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whether it's people, whether it's the phone, whether it's whatever other commotion and noise is going on, that these things don't distract us. Why? Because we are standing with who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, when a person stands for salah, Allah removes all the veils between Allah and that abd. And now when he says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah is speaking to him. He says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah says Hamidani Abdi, my servant has just praised me. He says Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Athna Alayya Abdi. He says Maliki Yawmiddin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Majjadani Abdi. He says Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'een, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that هذا بيني وبين عبدي ولعبدي ما سأل. الله أكبر. Whilst we are saying Alhamdulillah, Allah is replying. When we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when my banda makes my dhikr, I am with him. إن ذكرني في ملأ إن ذكرته في ملأين. If he makes the dhikr in a gathering, Allah says, I remember him in a gathering far better, meaning the gathering of the angels. And if he remembers me alone, Allah says, I remember him alone. Allah hasn't forgotten us. When Allah says, I remember you, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, remember me and I will remember you. It doesn't mean that Allah has forgotten us. Allah doesn't forget respected brothers and elders. But what this means is that when a person makes dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the special mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon that person. Sakina, rahma, barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes on the hearts of those people that make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the food for the soul. Dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the food of the soul. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala says that his sheikh and ustaz, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, after Fajr, he would sit for the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until just before the time of Zuhr. He used to sit for dhikr just and after Fajr and just before the time of Zuhr. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala says that his ustaz Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala used to say that this is the nashta for my ruh. How many nashtas do we make? After Fajr, we make one nashta. Then 8 o'clock, we make another nashta. Then 10 o'clock, coffee break. Abhi lunch to bahut der hai. Lunch to 11 baje hoga, 12 baje hoga. Lekin usse pehle 3 nashta to aise hi ho jata hai. All nashta for the body. And what about the nashta for the ruh? Tilawat of Quran, dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Taymiyyah, who is one of the greatest Hanbali scholars, after Fajr, he would sit for 3-4 hours, make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would say, Abhi to ruh ka nashta hua. The nashta and the breakfast for the body is after that. So now, of course, we are weak. We are not able to make dhikr that for that long. But there are special times, especially after Fajr and Asr. If we can secure these slots for the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will see ruhani taraqi. That's why after Fajr, masknoon adhkar, and little bit tilawat of Quran. One rubu', one quarter, pau para, half para, Surah Yasin. And after Asr, if not after Maghrib, if not after Isha, some point that we fix for tilawat of Quran, Surah Yasin, Tabarakalladhi, Surah Al-Mulk, Waqi'ah, etc. These important surahs of the Quran, if we read on a regular basis, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect us from the punishment of the grave and fulfill our needs also. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to dedicate our hearts to Allah. Somebody once asked Mawlana Muhammad Hakim Mukhtar Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala that those that are pious, yani jo log nek hote hain, ahlullah hote hain, buzurg hote hain, to unko ahle dil kehte hain. In Urdu, it's explained in Urdu, ke nek logon ko, buzurgon ko ahle dil kehte hain. To kisi ne pucha ke ahle dil unko kyun kehte hain? Dil to har insan ke paas hai. Yehi kya baat hui? Why are they called Ahl al-Din? Ahl al-Din, yani people of the heart. What does that mean? Everyone's got a heart. It's beating in everybody's chest. Or else nobody would be here. So why is it that they are called Ahl al-Din? Shah Muhammad Haqni Waqsab Rahmatullahi Ali said, unhone firmaya, unko Ahl al-Din isliye kehte hain, ke unhone apna dil Allah ko de diya. To jab unhone apna dil Allah ko de diya, to ab wo dil is qabil hua, ke us dil ko dil kaha jaye. That because they dedicated their hearts for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now that heart becomes valuable and it's worthy of being called a heart. Or else the physical heart that is in everybody's chest that is beating and alhamdulillah that is keeping us alive, that is extremely important. We cannot undermine that. But within this physical heart is the ruh, which is the ruhani heart. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a heart that is attached and connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us on a daily basis to make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in recitation of Quran, and allow us to carry out ibadat in such a way that it is as if we are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we will continue to make mashq of this, inshallah, aista aista, we'll come to such a level hopefully that if we cannot bring the conscience that we are watching Allah, kam az kam ye to hoga that we'll realize that Allah is watching us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that. Ameen ya rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallim ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله ربي لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم اهدنا واهدي بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم والله accept our good deeds يا الله forgive us for our sins, shortcomings and mistakes يا الله. Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, that the Iman, Islam, and Ihsan that is mentioned in this hadith, Ya Allah, allow us to bring Iman and Islam and Ihsan within our lives, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, allow us to practice upon the dictates of Iman, Ya Allah, and our interior and our exterior. Ya Allah, Zahir or Batin, dono ko sacha kar de, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, that you bring, allow us to bring devotion in our ibadat, Ya Allah. Allow us to bring attention and concentration in our salah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let our salah be a salah that is pleasing to you and that is accepted by you, Ya Allah. Accept all the good deeds that we are able to do, Ya Allah. And forgive us for our shortcomings and our sins, Ya Allah. Grant us the understanding of a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Protect us, Ya Allah, and the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, grant barakah in our lives, Ya Allah. Allow us to visit the masjid on a regular basis, on a daily basis, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, that you keep us with iman, Ya Allah. Keep us with dignity, Ya Allah. Allow us to live a life of Iman in Islam, Ya Allah. And when our final moments come and we are about to leave this world, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, that you take us in a state of submission to you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, take us in a state that you are happy with us, Ya Allah. Allahumma ahyina ma kanatil hayatu khayran lana wa tawaffana idha alimta alwafata khayran lana. Allahumma man ahyaytahu minna faahyihi ala al-Islam wa man tawaffaytahu minna fatawaffahu ala al-Iman. وصل اللهم وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.